Those seven Beatitudes we've looked at over the last couple of weeks concerned conduct or character. All right, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. That was about our character or our conduct. But in verse number 10 and verse number 11 is talking about cruelty. All right, these next two Beatitudes, number 8 and 9, are concerning cruelty. The connection is simply this. If you're going to live out the first seven Beatitudes, you're going to be treated cruelly. In the world that we live in right now, they don't like blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. We talked about those as we went through those Beatitudes. Those are contradictory to the current flow of society today. And so if you're going to practice those seven Beatitudes in verse 3 down through verse 9, you're going to experience persecution. And so that's what the Lord covers in these three verses, talking about that cruelty that is to come to those that are exhibiting the characteristics of the first seven Beatitudes. So we're going to look at Beatitude number 8 and 9, which are really the last two, because after that we go away from the blesseds and we get applications of things. But verse 10 and verse 11 both start with that same word, blessed. Many of the commentators make this one beatitude, but we're going to see what the difference is between the two as we look at them this morning. Letter A in our outline this morning, the persecuted are blessed. All right, the persecuted are blessed. You'll notice in each of these three verses, the word persecuted is there. Verse number 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. And the end of verse 12, for so persecuted they the prophets. So it's not a mystery what these verses are about. This is a blessing upon those that are persecuted. Now that's not what we normally think about as being blessed. In our mind, being blessed means having good health. And truly that is a blessing. In our mind, being blessed means having enough money to pay the bills and get to eat out too. In our mind, being blessed means your family's all doing well. But the Lord is telling us in these two verses, blessed are the persecuted. Now the question this morning is, how many want to volunteer to be blessed? All right, blessed are the persecuted. So that's what we're looking at here in these verses. Let's look at number one, the past persecution. First of all, the past persecution. We're actually going to jump to the end of our three verses, the end of verse number 12. It says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Persecution is nothing new. Persecution has been around since just outside the Garden of Eden. Since Abel slew his brother Cain because his brother's works were righteous. All right? Blessed are you which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's why Abel was slain by his brother Cain, because his works were righteous and his brother's were not. He brought an offering that was acceptable to God, and Cain brought one that was not acceptable. They had been taught by their father what was acceptable to God for an offering. Cain wanted to do it his own way. Abel did it the way prescribed by God through his father. And so he was persecuted. He was bludgeoned to death for righteousness' sake. But the Bible says, so persecuted they the prophets. So that doesn't really include Abel, though that's the first instance of persecution. But all through the Old Testament, the prophets were persecuted. Elijah, following his great victory on Mount Carmel, with the people shouting out, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. As they cried those things out, girls, I don't know if you want to, but there is a class down there. I know John's not here this morning, but they're having a class, okay? For so persecuted they the prophets. Elijah was on the top of Mount Carmel and fought the battle. And then the day after, he's found sitting under a juniper tree. And there under the juniper tree, he's crying out for his life because Jezebel is after him. Jezebel was angry that Elijah had slain the prophets of the groves and the prophets of Baal, and so she's persecuting him. And Elijah's saying, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. He was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Daniel, thrown into a lion's den because he ignored the king's edict not to pray to God, and he opened his windows as his manner was, and he prayed to God three times during the day. And because of that violation of the king's edict, because of righteousness' sake, he was thrown into a lion's den. You understand, persecution has to be for righteousness' sake. We like to think we're persecuted when it's not for righteousness' sake, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Jeremiah, prophesying to the nation of Israel that they need to surrender to the king of Babylon, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar because God is sending him into that captivity. They didn't like that message. They didn't want that message. I wouldn't have liked that message. You wouldn't have liked that message for somebody to say, let's surrender and go into captivity. This is God's will. For 70 years, we're going to be up there. Then we'll get to come back to the land. And so they persecuted Jeremiah. They threw him down into a pit. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Isaiah was sawn in half. Hebrews chapter 11. Some were sawn asunder. They took a saw and cut him in half, that prophet, because they didn't like what he prophesied. You understand, persecution is not having someone shut the door in your face. Persecution is not having someone hang up on you. Persecution is much more serious than that. We in America might like to think we're being persecuted for Christ's sake. Not yet. I hope the day doesn't come. I've been hearing for 40 years that day's coming, and so far it hasn't, and I hope it doesn't. But that's what persecution is. So the past persecution sets the table for what persecution's all about. Persecution's a very serious thing. It's an imminent danger that you're walking around in fear of what could happen to you because of Christ. So we need to get the proper perspective on what persecution is really like. There are folks in countries today that are suffering persecution. A Christian, if there is one, and I guess there is, in North Korea, suffers persecution. They have to watch every word that they say. Everything that they do is being scrutinized by someone, even a family member, and they can be turned in. And if they are, the rest of their life is rough. And so there are people that are facing that today, and the pattern was set by the fifth. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Then notice number two, the present persecution. Number one is the past persecution. Number two is the present persecution. Verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted. All right, that's present tense. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Taking it from the past into the present. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Notice small letter A, the cruelty. The cruelty. Blessed are they which are persecuted. And we've talked about this a little bit already. Persecution is not, well, I think that person's out to get me. When you're being persecuted, you don't have to think they're out to get you. You know they're out to get you. There is evidence that they're out to get you. Remember, let's take the context of which Jesus is talking about. This is post-rapture, tribulation period. And those folks know someone's out to get them. They are refusing to take the mark of the Antichrist. They are preaching the gospel. They are being a witness for Christ. And because of that, they're being pursued. They're being denied the necessities of life. They can't buy or sell. And they are being persecuted. That's what persecution is, when you feel those things. Blessed are they which are persecuted. It's not just someone talking about you. It is a serious threat. Abel, slain by his brother. Elijah, pursued, his life on the line. Daniel, thrown into a lion's den. All right? Get the proper perspective of what persecution is. so that we can appreciate its seriousness. Jeremiah, Isaiah, those that we mentioned, all in imminent danger of something happening to them. So that's the cruelty in the present persecution. Small letter B, there's the continuation. The continuation. Blessed are they which are persecuted. The phrase "are persecuted" indicates not a one-time act, but a continuous persecution. It's not something that is an occasional thing, but it's something that they're living in and experiencing in. They're living under persecution. All right, the Jews under Nazi Germany were experiencing persecution. It's a continual air. It's a continual thought. Those that believe during the tribulation, continual persecution. No escape from it. No hiding from it. When you go to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning, the same persecution is there, all right? This is much more serious than what we label as persecution in the day and times in which we live, in the country in which we live. Again, others in the world are experiencing those things. But this kind of persecution is a very serious thing. It's constant. The continuation. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Then letter C is the cause. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. A lot of folks like to think they're being persecuted, but it's not for righteousness' sake. They're not being righteous. They're being obstinate. They're being stubborn. Being disagreeable. We don't get rewarded for being persecuted, for being disagreeable. We get rewarded for being persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is righteousness' sake? We said it already. Doing the first seven Beatitudes. All right, when we do those things from verse 3 to verse 9 and we suffer persecution, when we are constantly doing those things and suffering persecution constantly for it, then the Bible says we are blessed. Here's a good phrase that I came across. Holy living upsets those not living holy lives. All right, holy living upsets those not living holy lives. The biblical phrase for that, look if you would at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Remember Dr. Richard Sandlin saying 40 some years ago when I was a young Christian, first revival meeting I ever went to, I heard him say something that stuck with me. He said, if it pleases you to please the Lord, then do as you please. And if what we do pleases the Lord, it's not going to please other people all the time. And when we are living those Beatitudes, the first seven, when we're living those out in our life, some folks aren't going to appreciate that. They don't like someone that lives that way because it's kind of like a mirror that shows their life. When someone else is living clean, it reflects those that are living not so clean. And so they don't appreciate it. So they persecute those. Notice in Proverbs 29 and verse 27, the Bible says this, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is the abomination to the wicked. All right, so that's the way the writer of Proverbs says it. An unjust man is abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. So there's the cause. Look, if you would, also at 1 Peter chapter 4. And here's a verse I was alluding to earlier for why we suffer persecution. Blessed are they which are persecuted. The cause is for righteousness' sake. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When we are being persecuted, not for the sake of Christ, not for righteousness, not for being a Christian, sometimes we're reaping for what we've done in the flesh. And we just want to cry out, well, I'm being persecuted for Christ. No, that has nothing to do with it. You're reaping for the stupid things you sowed. And yet that's a lot of times folks say, well, they're just persecuting me. No, unless they're beating you, unless they're imprisoning you, unless they're murdering you for righteousness' sake, it's not persecution. And so the cause of the present persecution is for righteousness' sake. Then notice small letter D, the consolation. In verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the consolation. In the tribulation period, they're running for their lives. There is no rest day or night. They can't buy nor sell. They never know who's going to turn them in and who's going to sincerely help them. And so for the whole period, they're facing that kind of thing. And the end of their life, the end for most of them, as we read in the book of Revelation, and those that are at the altar up in heaven, crying out for vengeance upon those, there's a multitude of people that during that 7-year period, because of righteousness' sake, are murdered. And the Bible says to them, and again, this is the doctrinal context of the verse, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, theirs is the kingdom of heaven doesn't mean they get to be in it. It means they get to rule and reign in it. Theirs is the kingdom. They're going to be princes. They're going to be kings. They're going to be rulers. Why? For righteousness' sake. I found an interesting thought, and here's something, Brother Matthews, you can help me on this. And I searched this thoroughly because I came across it and I thought, wait a minute, this contradicts everything I've heard, probably many things I've said. You know the only ones that, as far as I can tell Scripture, the only ones in heaven that get white robes are those that are martyred during the tribulation period. Now I challenge you to study that out because I came across that and I thought, no, wait a minute. We've always said we're going to go to heaven and get a robe and a crown, a robe and a crown, a robe and a crown. And the crowns are there, definitely are there, but I've looked and looked. I couldn't find anywhere else that it said that we get robes. We get white robes. They're all for the tribulation saints. They get a very special reward for enduring that period of time. Blessed are they that endure, that suffer persecution, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They get a very special lofty position in the kingdom because they've sacrificed everything. So when we think of this persecution, we need to read it in biblical context and find out that when we talk about persecution, we can't be flippant with it and put little things in that category. So that's the past persecution. Number two is the present persecution. Number three is the future persecution. The future persecution. Notice the difference between verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted. That's present tense. Which are persecuted. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That's future tense. When men shall revile you. You understand persecution has been around since Cain slew Abel. And it's going to be around till the accuser of the brethren is eternally damned to the pits of hell. Persecution goes from Genesis to Revelation. And all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the qualifying verse, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus. All right? So now we've got the future persecution in verse number 10. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Notice in verse 10 is blessed are they. Verse 11 is blessed are ye. And he's talking to the nation of Israel and he's saying, blessed are ye when men shall, future tense, revile you. Small letter A, we'll look at three things. A, B, and C, and then we'll something else, the letter D. But three things about that future persecution. Number one, it includes the shaming, small letter A, the shaming. In verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That word revile, it means to make accusations. To make accusations. And to make them publicly. All right, we're going to come across the word slander, say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's a different category. Here is a deliberate attempt to embarrass. All right, that's what the reviling is. An attempt to embarrass. You know what it says? While Jesus was hanging naked on the cross, the day that went by wagged their heads, they reviled Him. The purpose of hanging Jesus up on the cross without any clothing was to embarrass Him. And that's what reviling is. To cause embarrassment. To do it publicly. To revile publicly. I think of the story of Naboth. Remember in the Old Testament, Ahab wanted the vineyard that was close to his palace, but Naboth owned it. It was his inheritance from his fathers and his father's fathers, and he wouldn't sell it. Jezebel saw Ahab sulking one day in his bedroom. Jezebel said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, I want that garden, and he won't give it to me. So Jezebel hired some men to falsely accuse Naboth at a feast. They put him in a seat, and men around falsely accused him. That's what reviling is. Setting someone up in public and gathering around them and criticizing them and rebuking them and embarrassing them in front of other people. And Jesus said, blessed are they when men shall revile you. We don't want that. We don't want to be embarrassed. You know why so many times on the job site, in the workplace, in the schoolhouse, a dirty joke is told and we just remain silent. We don't say anything because we don't want to be reviled. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be pointed out as being different from everybody else. But the Bible says we're blessed when men shall revile us. When we don't desire to fit in, when we don't desire to but we're willing to be embarrassed for Christ. So blessed are they, the shaming, letter B. The severity. And this is what we've been talking about all this time. The severity. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, number one, and persecute you. Again, that word is in each of these three verses, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12. But that word persecute you talks about the severity of it. 1 Peter chapter 4, again, we read some of the verses. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. They persecuted the prophets in the past. The persecution's going on many times in our world today in the present. And there's going to be a persecution in the future. And again, I believe that 1 Peter, I believe everything from Hebrews to Revelation is pointing toward the tribulation and the kingdom of God. It's not church age stuff. Church age is from Romans to Philemon. Then we get to Hebrews and move on through there, and it's pointing toward those end times. And here in 1 Peter it says, think it not strange. Again, aiming at those in the tribulation period. Believe it, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. It's not just think it not strange concerning the trial, but think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. That's the severity of the persecution during the tribulation time. In fact, Jesus mentioned this in John chapter 16 and verse number 2. Jesus said, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now that was fulfilled in the Inquisition. That was fulfilled in the 1550s, the 1540s, down from the 1300s to the 1500s, where true believers were being martyred and crucified for the cause of Christ by the Roman Catholic Church. And many applied that verse to that period, and it does apply, but it's speaking directly about a time yet to come. And that's that tribulation period when the Jews are being persecuted and pursued by the Antichrist. The severity of the future persecution. Then letter C, the slander. Again, in verse number 11, three things. Blessed are ye, one, when men shall revile you, two, and persecute you, number three, and shall say all manner of evil against you, can't leave out the last word, falsely. They say all manner of evil against you, and it's not false. You reap what you sow. You get what you deserve. And isn't it true in our life sometimes we're not perfect, and we do make a mistake, and somebody points it out, somebody makes a big deal about it, we can't point the finger at them, we can't point the finger, oh, I'm just being persecuted. No, you're reaping for what you sowed. But when it's for righteousness' sake, when it's because we're living godly, the Bible says that they shall still say all manner of evil against you falsely. I'm reminded of what one of the things Mark Twain said. He said, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting its shoes on. And isn't that true? Isn't that true how fast a lie spreads? Untruth, especially now with the internet. Well, I heard, and so they repeat it on the internet, and they didn't check it out and verify it, see if it's right, see if it's true. But we just pass on the information. And lies travel quickly. And then when it involves someone for the cause or the sake of Christ, the Bible says, blessed are ye when ye shall be persecuted, when they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's the slander in the future persecution. Then, small letter D, the sake. He says in verse number 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. For my sake. Don't be afraid of speaking for Christ. Don't be afraid of taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be ostracized. You might be set apart. You might be embarrassed. You might be slandered. But you know what the Lord says in the midst of all that? Blessed. Again, the world's evaluation is so different from God's evaluation. We don't want those things. We don't want to face those things. There's something in our human makeup that makes that uncomfortable for us. And yet the Bible says that you're blessed when you do it for my sake, the Lord says. So that's the sake of it. That's why we do those things. You know, Naboth was set up. We said already he was set up, and they accused him of blasphemy. Had he blasphemed? No. It was all lies. It was all a setup. But he bore it patiently. I mean, he died for it. But he died persecuted, blessed. So letter A is the persecution. The persecuted are blessed. Letter B, verse number 12, rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. The persecuted are rewarded in verse number 12. The persecuted are blessed in verse 10 and verse 11. Both verses start with the word blessed. But then verse 12 starts with the word rejoice. You're persecuted. Rejoice. You're slandered. Rejoice. You're reviled. Rejoice. You're persecuted. Rejoice in all these things. When they say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. There's a reward. There's a consolation. There's a comfort given by God when those things happen. Number one, under the persecuted are rewarded, there is a surprising command. A surprising command. The Lord says, when you're persecuted, rejoice and be exceeding glad. What? Rejoice at being persecuted? Abel should be rejoicing, Abel should be rejoicing that his brother hated him so much for righteousness' sake because his offering was righteous and his brother's was not. He should rejoice. Elijah sitting under the juniper tree with Jezebel breathing down his neck should rejoice. That's what the Bible says. When these things happen in verse 11, when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner, God says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. We wouldn't say rejoice. We would say revenge. That's the way our human nature would respond. You know what the Lord told them in that day, again in the Sermon on the Mount? If a man smites you on one cheek, turn to him also the other. I don't know about you, that's not in my nature. And again, that's a tribulation context. We can practice that now. It's a good thing to practice, but that's a tribulation context. The surprising command, rejoice and be exceeding glad. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, you need not turn there, but you remember this. The disciples were brought in before the council for preaching Christ. They were commanded not to speak anymore in His name, and before they released them, they beat them. All right, that's persecution. They were beaten for disobeying their command not to preach Christ. All right, they weren't beaten for tax evasion. They weren't beaten for rebellion against Caesar. They were beaten for preaching Christ. That's for righteousness' sake. And the Bible says in Acts 5:41 that when they went out from that council after having been beaten, it says they went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. They went out rejoicing. They'd just been beaten. We think of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, having been beaten and thrown into that prison cell. And at midnight, they were singing hymns and praise to God. They were rejoicing. All the world doesn't understand that. They expect us to be angry and mad and cussing them out and everything else. They don't understand it when you're persecuted and you rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 4, remember where it said about the fiery trial? It said, when you endure these things, in 1 Peter 4:14, it said, happy are ye. You want to be happy? Go out and take a stand for Christ and be persecuted for righteousness' sake. That'll give you a joy that's deeper than anything the world can give, but that's not in our nature to want to do that. A surprising command, and then lastly, number two, a surprising compensation. He says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Great. Great. Again, I believe that those tribulation saints get a reward far beyond the normal Christian reward. They've got the white robes. Great is your reward in heaven. So not only, look back at the end of verse 10, not only theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and again, that's the earthly millennial reign of Christ. They get a high position in that kingdom on earth, but then great is their reward in heaven. They get the best of both worlds because they suffered nothing in this life. They suffered having nothing in this life. Again, the context, post-rapture, tribulation period, into the kingdom. These that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, great is their reward in heaven. Now again, we make those applications to our day because there is a present persecution right now. There's the cruelty and the continuation, the cause and the consolation. And so we need to live for Christ and stand for Christ in the days that we live in, but understand that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You and I need to make the decision, are we going to put our lot in for that? Are we going to put in our lot for persecution? Are we going to stand for Christ or are we going to be silent? Are we going to blend in? Are we going to melt in? And then the Bible says, not blessed. Because blessed are ye when men shall persecute you. All right. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the instruction given. And Father, the timeliness of the message that's there. Bless our